Be back in Matthew, kind of nod, and I think the Lord wanted something else for me to bring out to you this morning. And so, I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're at, and I don't know if this is for you, maybe this is for someone online. And so, I've learned that I try to listen to the Holy Spirit when He talks to me, sometimes I wish he text or send me an email. Some things were clean, and so it doesn't always work that way. And I kept getting this gnawing, this real question of, Lord, do you care? And I know many of you are going through things in life, and we talk about the storms of this world, and I don't know. I don't know if maybe someone's kind of wrestling, Lord, what's going on? Because sometimes I think that we have the perception that if we are Christians, we're immune from the struggles of this world. And that's not the case. Over the years, I've met many Christians who are struggling with physical ailments, of family strife, of financial issues. And oftentimes what happens is there's a guilt that goes along with it that, God, why are you zapping me? And sometimes I think we lift our hearts in prayer, and sometimes we feel like it kind of just bounces off the ceiling. I know I've been alone in the dark with tears flowing down my face saying, God, where are you? And maybe this morning you're kind of going through this. And the passage that I kept going back to is in Mark chapter 4. So this morning this is kind of thrown together. I wasn't sure exactly what I was supposed to speak on and how was I supposed to do. And so yesterday at the last minute I kind of put this together. So hopefully I heard the Lord right. If so, then He gets all the glory. If this is missing the mark, then it's me. So this is a story, an account as Jesus is going up and Jesus' ministry is thriving and things seem to be going well. I mean, there's some strife along the way with religious leaders. We see this conflict sort of building up. But overall, the ministry is going well, and Jesus turns around in Matthew chapter 4, verse 35, and says, on the same day when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and the other little boats were also with Him. It seems like every day sort of occurrence. Jesus was preaching and teaching, and then He'd finish up somewhere and He'd move on to somewhere else. And this is where ministering along the Sea of Galilee, and often what they would do is the Sea of Galilee, you think of the word sea and you think of this huge massive body of water. It's a pretty small lake. It kind of reminds me of Minnesota growing up with a land of 10,000 lakes, right? And you see, from there, they take great pride in having at least 10,000 lakes. They put it on their license plates, 10,000 lakes. Some of what they call lakes are just kind of big puddles. So it all depends on what the definition of lake is. They kind of stretch that out sometimes. And if it rains, hey, look, there's more lakes, So the Sea of Galilee is this pretty small body of water, just a few miles across. And the quickest way to get from A to B would be just to zip across. And you remember, right, a few of Jesus' disciples were fishermen who were used to being out in the waters. And I don't know, has anyone ever gone, like, deep sea? Anyone been more than a mile out to sea? It's a different world out there. One of our parishioners was really big into deep sea fishing. He goes, Pastor, do you want to go deep sea fishing? And I looked at the pamphlet. I looked at the cost of what it cost. You can buy a whole bunch of fish fillets for the price of it cost to go out and try to catch something. And I looked at this, I was like, no. And he goes, no, I'm paying. I'm like, sure. So he went down to Massachusetts, came out, I think it was off Cape Cod, and we headed out. And I've never been out that far before. You know, where you get to the point where you can't see land. And I'm from, you know, the Midwest, you know. We don't have oceans, you know. I mean, so I'm sort of a land lover. And so this is just how I work mentally. I asked the captain, I said, which way is shore? Because I thought I'd find reassurance in knowing which way land was. Because if the boat ever tipped over, I want to be able to swim to shore. I just felt better. It's that way. 2 miles that way. Oh, okay. And I got sick as a dog. All that movement, all that, right? And I said, man, is this a storm? He goes, no, this is just the way it is, you know. I'm like, oh, I can't imagine if it really whipped up. But things seem to be going well. And Jesus' disciples says, hey, get into the boat. We're going to go over. And like I said, this probably was just like every, you know, a common occurrence. Little did he know what was going to happen and actually what Jesus was going to send him into as this story unfolds. Because oftentimes the storms in our life come when we least expect them. Right? I mean, sometimes we try to anticipate, I mean, the physical storms, right? We're up here in New England, you know, we have storms coming up and they track them, right? And how many times, you know, this winter is coming up? Right? And how many times they said, oh, there's going to be a big storm that's going to hit us. And then the next morning is like, really? You know, panic and you know, run out and you got to buy that loaf of bread and that gallon of milk. I don't know what that's all about, but everyone has to get their loaf of bread and their gallon of milk and, go to the grocery store and they're fighting over that. I feel so much better having a loaf of bread and throwing an egg, you can make French toast. I don't know what, you know. And we get anticipating these storms in our lives, but the ones that really hit us hard is when we're blindsided. Right? When we think, Lord, I'm following you. Things are going great. And the Lord says, follow me. And the whole idea of following the Lord makes us immune from these things is such hogwash. That's a fancy Greek term that theologians use. It's hogwash. It doesn't work. Sometimes following the Lord brings us into the storm. But follow Him. Our heart breaks as oftentimes we hear people who are going through tragedies. And it drives them away from the Lord and they become angry. And the very one who they need to find comfort from is the very person that they walk away from. Follow the Lord. Because He does care. He is ever present. I want to take a look at Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. What a wonderful picture this is. That Christ, the great shepherd, leads us and we follow Him. And I love this idea of the green pastures, right? I like the plush ground. I love the good food. I like to be taken care of and basking in the sun. I picture this scene, I don't picture the Middle East when I read this. I picture like Ireland, right? You see the pictures of, the shepherd out there on the rolling hills and the sun shining on the emerald island and covered with all these white sheep up there. It's like, wow, how tranquil that is. That's what I want. He leads me beside the still waters, right? The calm waters. I like the calm waters. I don't like it when my life gets upset. Right? Give me some non-stress. I don't know when that last time was, but, right? It's like, oh. I mean, how many of you would just love a day just to breathe? And just say, oh. With all the stresses and everything else going on in your life, Lord, lead me to the still waters. And we read this, I mean, remember the goodness of the Lord. But just look at the verse beyond this. Yea, though I walk through the what? Valley of the shadow of death. Whoa, 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 whoa. What? That doesn't sound like rolling green hills. Right? That sounds like a storm. That sounds like dangerous spots. That sounds like a place I don't want to be. I remember years ago I was talking to a guy, and him and his wife would come up with these spontaneous ideas, and so they're over in over Monroe in that type of area, and they decided they were going to walk to Bangor. And they're like, oh, just for fun, let's just walk to Bangor. So they did. They just started, they had flip-flops on and shorts, and they said, let's go. And so they started walking up the road, and noticed on Facebook, they posted on there, said, can someone who's going to Bangor please stop by and pick us up? You know, we have blisters and we're sore and it's hot and all of a sudden things were turning out like they thought. They thought, oh, this would be a romantic stroll. I don't know how far, that must be 30, 40 miles? Right? I suppose it depends on how you go. Right? And it's, oh, we're gonna go for this walk and this leisurely stroll. And then it's like, oh man, this is hard. Help! Someone help me! Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. See, the only reason why the sheep were in the valley of death because they were following the shepherd, and the shepherd said, this is where we need to go. Follow the Lord. Don't forsake Him. Trust Him. Do what He tells you to do. Be obedient to Him, and He will be faithful to you. And so we see this scene. Jesus tells the disciples, okay, let's get in the boat. Let's cross over. And it looked like a sunny day. The water was calm. Things are great. We were just ministering, right? Imagine the high they were on as they saw Jesus healing and ministering and preaching. And they're like, wow, this is what the Christian life is all about. This is what following Jesus is all about. Let's get in the boats. And we're heading out. And we're rowing. And I'm sure they were singing. They were joyous. And it said a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat. So they were already feeling. Out of nowhere, the wind picked up. The waves picking up the boat and slamming it down. The water frothing and overfilling the boat. Where'd this come from? Did the Lord know this was coming? We're following you, Lord. We're doing what you asked us to do. How come it's not working out like I thought it was going to? Or we have crossed over several times before and we never had this problem before. Why this time? Why me? And these are questions that come at us. And we wrestle with, Lord, I'm following you. Why? Because storms will arise. Following the Lord doesn't make us immune to the storms. And sometimes following the Lord actually brings us into the storm. Right? Is this the way you want me to go? Lord, I don't know. It looks awfully dark ahead. So we're out in Minnesota come summer, right around August, they have tornadoes that will come through. And I don't know if you've ever been in an area where they have tornadoes. It's funny because we're sitting there and the tornado horns go off, the sirens go off. And you know what? No one does anything. I mean, it's just like, oh, okay. You know, kind of like I talked to my brother who lived in California, and I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden I heard this weird noise. What was that? He goes, oh, that was an earthquake. I'm like, are you okay? He goes, oh, yeah. It's like, you know. And so it's interesting. In the Midwest, the sirens go off. People really don't panic, you know, unless it's like right there. And I remember one time we're in the vehicle, and I'm not normal. And I looked at the weather, and they're talking about this. And so I got in the car, and I said, hey, let's go. And so I drove into the storm. I said, oh, well, let's go check this out. And I've seen this on TV, right? Storm chasers, and this would be great. Maybe it'll be like, oh, what was the movie with the cow that was kind of floating in the, you know, oh, I want, maybe I'll see that. And so we started heading into the, you know, we're getting through, and the wind started picking up, the rain started beating on the car, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't think this is a good idea. You ever had that? Yeah, right? Oh, this sounds like a good idea. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. And sometimes as Christians, we find this, Lord, I will follow you. And we're following him. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I like where this is leading. Maybe this is costing me something. Maybe it's more difficult than I thought it was going to be. And yet, the Lord still says, follow me. And the Lord brought him into this storm. He knew it was going to happen. It didn't catch him by surprise. John says this, and these things have I spoken to you. These are the words of Jesus, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You will have storms. And the storms in our lives do not reflect the lack of love or concern of the Savior. Just because you're in the storm, right, doesn't mean God doesn't love you anymore. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you're not doing the right thing. Maybe that you're where the Lord wants you. And just real quick, I was thinking this idea of storms, of why we end up in storms, right? Well, you know what I mean by storms, right? Those are the hard things in life. Those are the struggles we have. Those are the things in our lives that sometimes seem destructive around us. Right? You watch the TV and you watch, you know, the hurricanes coming through and the tornadoes, and you see the devastation that's left behind. And we see that all around us, and maybe our lives feel that way. And I love this illustration of storms, because that's what it feels like. The first thing is that we live in a fallen world. The Bible says if it rains on the just and the unjust, right? You know, if a hurricane came through and Lee took a turn and came right up through Stockton Harbor and plowed down right through town and destroyed the whole town, well, because I'm a Christian doesn't mean my house is going to stand. Right? Now, I can rest you here. I can kind of relax a little bit because I'm up on Church Street. You know? So I'm trying to think of who's the lowest here. Steve, pray for you, brother. Steve's going to be wiped out first. Actually, are you still sitting on a boat? Yeah, so here we are. Steve's out on his boat on the harbor. And so, you know, if he turns around and passes, let's see, you know, the Gamons, if he goes by your house on his boat, right? Judy, you're going next. Krause's, I'm going to get nervous if Krause, you know, if they start flooding all out. I'm way up here. I'll pray for you all. But we look at all these things, right? But we live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. People have cancer. People get diseases. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're immune to those things. There are accidents and deaths. You go to the hospital, there's probably just as many Christians as non-Christians who are there. We live in a fallen world where we have these things and we're not immune from them. We're not immune of storms in life. And folks, what that does is make me look forward to a day where there is no more pain, no more sorrow. There is going to be a home with the Lord where there's no more cancer and no more death, no more goodbyes. I'll never have to perform another funeral again. I look forward to that day. I'm tired of this world. I am. I don't even watch the news that much anymore. Lord, come quickly. Heaven's looking better every day. This world doesn't have much I want. And because of this, we are living in the midst of the storms. We are in storms because sometimes my own sin. Sometimes I bring this upon myself, right? Not every case, but sometimes the choices I make, the decisions I make, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he shall also reap. Because of choices, and we're seeing this in our world today, right? Oh, go ahead, do what you want. And all of a sudden there's consequences for these sins. And I'm convinced most of what we're seeing in the world today, most of what kind of what our government is trying to do, is trying to protect people from the consequences of their own sin. Do what you want. Live how you want. And then all of a sudden there's consequences, right? If I choose to sin, I choose to do things against God, there are consequences for that. So sometimes I bring my storms into my own life. Thirdly, we see this God pruning us. God's taking the things in the world that are non-productive for Him and paring them off. And sometimes the struggle in our life, we say, you know, God, is this helping me in my walk or is it hurting me? And sometimes God is pruning us, is taking off things in our lives that we can live fully more for Him. And lastly, and this is an exclusive list, but maybe God's bringing us through a storm in your life that He'll get the glory for it. Right? Maybe you're going through this and you say, wow, God got me through that. Wow, praise be Him. Has anyone ever gone whitewater rafting? I think I've told this story before. I've always wanted to go whitewater rafting. And once again, someone from the church says, hey, Pastor, we're going. You want to come? We're paying. Like, yeah, okay, I'll go. And so we're heading up through. This is up in Katahdin. And I was watching. And you walk up. You're driving up through. And you're seeing people go down. And you're going through the rapids. And you're like, wow. And I'm getting excited because this is how weird I am. I wanted to have that, oh, no, I'm going to die moment. That's what I thought was going to happen. Right? And I'm like, okay, so we got up there, got in the raft, we had this short little guide, and I was like, oh, this little lady, and she was like a drill sergeant. She was barking orders, and yes, ma'am, and she's like, look, if we go through this, you gotta listen to what I say, and so we practice, you know, I say left, left, right, right, we stop, and so she's barking orders, and we're going up through, we came up through, and she goes, okay, there's a falls up ahead, we're watching the one go above us, and they went up there, they tipped over, and people were bouncing off the rocks and all that, and I'm like, okay, here it comes. Here it comes, that I'm going to die moment. And so she goes, she was just like, focus on me. Listen to me. And so watching her and she's reading, you know, she knows where she's going. So she's like, left, right, hold, stop. And she's yelling at us and we're going through the whole thing. And the next thing we know, we're through it. And I look back and I was like, I was so busy that I didn't have that, oh no, I'm going to die moment. And it was like, wow, I'm glad we got the guide we had. Because she knew what she was doing. When we follow the Lord through the storm, He gets the glory for it. And we see this out in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, think of him. Paul the Apostle, right? Wrote most of the New Testament. God used him so greatly. And yet he struggled with this. He was in a storm. He says, lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient to you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon. Right? We see this that we... Well, Paul was in the storm. He didn't like what was going on. We don't know what that thorn of the flesh is. Some people guesstimate and it doesn't matter. If God wanted us to know, He would have told us. But we feel that way. Lord, stop this. Right? I remember was going through something and I remember just praying, Lord, stop this ride. I want to get off. That was my prayer. Right? And I just felt God tell me, buckle up. Because the only way off this ride is to go through it. I'm like, okay, Lord. That through our weakness, He's made strong, that He gets the glory. Take a look back in the book of Mark. But He, talking about Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And this is the verse that kept going through my head. Lord, don't you care? I'm going down, Lord. I'm overwhelmed. The boat is filling up, right? I'm bailing, Lord, as quickly as I can. And more water is coming in that's going out. Have you felt like that in your life? Lord, I'm going down and you don't. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was not just in the boat, but what was he doing? He was sleeping. Now, was he sleeping because he didn't care? No. He was sleeping because he was at peace. A peace in the middle of the storm. Folks, in the storms of our life, Jesus is with you. He's there. Right? Keep your eyes on him. Right? Look unto Jesus. He's the author and he is the finisher of our faith. In the midst of the boat, remember, he is by your side. Another storm scene. I find it interesting that, you know, remember we talk about many of these guys were fishermen, right? They've been fishing these waters. They were in the storms before. So you look at this and say, well, this was just a little ripple, right? No. Right? When the fishermen are scared, you know it's bad. Right? You know, it's interesting because, you know, I've been along with someone who's an expert at something, and I've learned a long time ago to watch the expert. Because I'll get nervous because I don't know what's going on. Right? I'll get scared. My anxiety, because I don't know what's going on. But if you watch the guy in charge and they're scared, maybe that's time to panic. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And Peter was in the storm. And this is one where Jesus sends them out once again, and the storm comes, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And he says that he came. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. That's what I want to do. In the middle of the storm, I want to be walking on the water. You know? And I don't know how I when I get to heaven, I don't know if we'll be able to ask questions, but I'm like, okay, how does this work? Was there a path that Peter followed? Was it, you know, God made the whole thing solid? Right? Did he go down a little bit? Or did he walk on the very top? Or was it just only where his foot hit the water? Was that the only place that was solid? Was it liquid everywhere else and only that one place? And as soon as he lifted his foot, the water went, that's that sound effect, right? That's what it sounded like. I don't know how it worked. And often I don't know how God works. I just know I can do what God asked me to do. And he said, Peter, come on out. And he walked on the water. Wow, that's what I want. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. What happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. Folks, in the midst of the storm, keep your eyes on him. Follow him. Do what he tells you to do. Because if you take your eyes off the water, the storm will overcome you. Lord, don't you care? Oh, he cares. Look what he says here. Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. See, isn't this the most amazing thing about our Lord? Because when we call out to him, he's right there. He's not far off. You're not alone. In the midst of your storm, call out to him and he is right there. Lord, save me. Now, it's interesting because he pulled him out. And he reads the rest of the story. He turns around and gets into the boat. And then after they get into the boat is when the sea calmed. I'm convinced that more times than not in our lives, God does not save us from the storm. He sees us through the storm. Book of Hebrews says this, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, what? Nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? In the midst of your storm, have this be your prayer, the Lord is my helper, I will not what? fear. Now listen, I don't want to take away from anything you're going through. Like I said, I wrestled with the Lord and I don't know who this is for. But I want you to know, the Lord says, don't be afraid. He is with you through that storm. He's right there. If you don't get anything else out of this, this is the verse I believe that the Lord just wants you to have. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. He's in the storm with you. He can give you a peace that passes understanding. So the scripture goes on, and then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now it's interesting because first they were afraid of the storm. Then Jesus calms it. Now they're afraid of Jesus. And they feared exceedingly. He said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? I think sometimes the struggle we have is that we forget who Jesus is. This storm is too great for Jesus. It's not. That God was caught unaware. He was not. We serve a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. I will not be afraid. Lord, see me through the storm. Lord, my preference would be, Lord, stop the storm. But can I tell you something? Whatever storm you're in, sooner or later will end. Right? This storm will end. Now, maybe what you're going through is a temporary bleep in the span of your life. I don't know. Maybe what you're going through is a new struggle. Maybe a new phase in life. Maybe there are some difficulties that may last for years. Let me tell you, Christian. There's going to be a day when the storms of this life are over. And we'll walk on streets of gold. It's interesting, the book of Revelation talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and it says there's no more sea. And theologians have battled what that means and come up with some grand things. Now, I'm just a simple man and not very bright, so take this for what it's worth. But listen, if there's no more sea, there's no more storms. Right? There's an old hymn. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by. Christian, there is a time when the storms of this life will fade and never hit again. Does Jesus care? He does. So much so that he never leaves us in the middle of the darkest hour you're in. He is there. Though the winds and waves may beat you and you feel like giving up, keep your eyes on Jesus because he is there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Look at the Savior, not the storm, and he will see you through. He says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Keep your eyes on Him.
Let me give you a final thought. In the midst of all these things, in the midst of the storms we're in, we have a choice, because the storms of this life will come. Tragedy is going to hit. Uncertainty will abound. We will feel overwhelmed. We will have all those things. But here is the question, dear saint. Will you go through it with Him or without Him? There should be no choice. Keep Jesus in the boat. He's there to guide and comfort. And He'll see you through the storm. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word, for the truth that Your Word contains. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You. Lord, I don't know who this is for. I don't know what they're going through. But the message is clear. Don't be afraid. Lord, keep our eyes on You. And You will see us through the storm. For Your honor, for Your glory. We ask this in Your name. Amen.